Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now 8:30. Time for Words of Wisdom, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. And I just want to say thank you. You have been calling in week after week, and I know sometimes there are other things that you could do with a busy schedule, but you decided to come as we explore the Word of God together. And for that, I say thank you. I pray that each and every one of you had a great week, and the things that you needed was provided, and God was right there with you, and you allowed yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit and all that he had for you to do and to become. Our lesson tonight, we don't have scripture because we're talking about a period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the title of our lesson is Out with the Old and Preparing the Way for the New, which is, like I said, the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, we have so many things going on in this world today. There's turmoil on every side. We have the people that has been flooded with the hurricanes, the families that's grieving for their lost ones from the sniper in Vegas. But you have to keep in mind that God is still in control, and we have to look forward because God is going to work it all out together for all of our good. But we have to trust him. So what I'm going to do is play this song, and the song that I chose, I think it's appropriate, because the songwriter is saying that no matter what's going on in your life or how things look or how things seem, God is always in the middle of everything that you're doing. Even if you don't realize it, God is right there in the middle of everything. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and play the song. We're going to come back and we're going to explore the Word of God together. And as you hear the song, listen to what the songwriter is saying. Be prayerful for our Bible study tonight, that God will open our eyes that we can truly see, that he would open up our ears that we could really hear what God is saying, and that he will open up our hearts to receive what he has prepared in his word for us on tonight. So listen to the song, be blessed, and we'll come right back.
Oh, 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 oh. Sometimes it seems hard to see, I guess, for you. Sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there in the middle. Oh,
when you cry.
Yeah. other times I must question your faith. Oh, don't give up, always look up. Don't give in, I'm right there in the middle. Yeah, yeah, pain, heartache, I'm right there. Tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know you're right from wrong. Yeah, I was there when your friends walked out on you. I was there when you didn't know what to do. Yeah, when you searched and found all of your family was gone. When you couldn't see your night from day. Oh,
God is letting us know, no matter what is going on, he's always in the middle of it. At this time, we have to go to the throne of grace in prayer. As always, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I will open up the mic, and you could come through the airwaves. If anyone would love to pray, press the one button. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, love of our soul, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now with thanksgiving in our hearts. Dear God, for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you promised to do. Heavenly Father, I ask that you be with each and every one of us that we can receive what you want us to know on tonight. Bless everyone that called in, dear God. Bless their homes. Bless their health, dear God. Bless their finances, dear God. Bless their children, dear God. Heavenly Father, we need you more today than we did before. Lord, the world is changing, but you say it in your word that you do not change. And because of that, dear God, we can trust you, dear God. And if you say that, it will come to pass. And, Lord, I realize that you have all of our best interests at heart, and you're going to see us through. But we need you, dear God. We need you to hold us in your unchanging hand. Guide us, dear God, by your word, and teach us through your spirit. Heavenly Father, we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Lord, I want to ask you that you look down upon the family of Miss Mary Taylor, dear God. She passed away, dear God. But, Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon her family. And as they go through the situation that they're going to go through because of the loss of their loved one, let them realize, as the song said, you're right there in the middle of it. Nothing can happen that take you by surprise. Bless them, dear God. Keep them closer together, dear God. Let not one fall from the other. Lord, we know you're able and you're willing. And for that, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, we're going to go in our lesson, and I pray that you guys were able to do your homework. You know, we've been together going on 6 years, and I think that was the first time I gave homework to you guys. I hope you found enough information to review. So when we do the lesson tonight, we all be on the same page. You know, I love when we get together and everybody done did what they can do to abreast themselves on the subject or the scripture or whatever it is that's going to go forth, because the Holy Ghost can illuminate and revelate the information for you. Like I tell y'all, I can only give information. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15 that each and every one of us has the responsibility to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, to rightly divide the word of truth. So as we go into the lesson, we know last week the book of Malachi was our subject. And we know that the book of Malachi was the last book in the Old Testament. With the writing of Malachi, the Old Testament closed. So as we go in these, look at the information between the Old and the New Testament, it should bring a lot of things to your memory that happened or that was prophesied about. God gave his prophet the information to tell his people about the things that was going to happen. So I'm going to give a little background, and then we're going to go into the study. I want you to know that if you just flipped from the last page of the Old Testament to the first page in the New Testament, you would have skipped over 400 years of history with a single turn of the page. I don't know how many times, if any one of you read the entire Old Testament and then started in the New, but if you flipped that page, there was 400 years of history between the end of the Old and the beginning of the New. But you see, in order to fully understand the New Testament, you must have an understanding of God's master plan before the foundation of the world, his ultimate divine purpose for mankind, and how, come on y'all, watch this, how he would provide everything necessary for our eternal life. He didn't say you had to provide it. He said he will and have provided everything that you'll need. There won't be anyone that'll be able to come to God and say, why didn't you, and if you would have, and you should have, would have, could have. God does his part all the time. And it is well done. It's complete. It's not short. You see, God is always working things out for our good. Even when he is silent, not speaking, or has turned a deaf ear on the people. You see, the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament is called the silent period. And some call it the intertestamental period. It was a time when God had stopped speaking, stopped using prophets, stopped guiding the people, you know, in the ways that he wanted them to do. we have to remember God had 17 prophets, 12 major prophets, and 5 minor prophets, and he sent them to the people, giving them directions and instructions and giving them promises. And no matter how many he sent, the people decided to do as they please. So to me, it seemed like God decided, the more I talk and it's not doing any good, you want to have your way, he said, I'm going to give you 400 years. Have your way. Do it the way you want. And that's what happened. The people began leaning to their own understanding and doing anything that seemed right in their eyes. Everyone that popped up in that period of time and confessed that they was a prophet turned out to be false. A false prophet. You see, it seemed that God allowed this period of time for the teaching of the Old Testament to penetrate throughout the world. God said, I gave it all to you. You're gonna, if you catch it and you meditate and you think about it, you're gonna see my hand. Come on, y'all. God has shut up his mouth. And he had closed his ear. But in this 400-year period, you could see the hand of God. You could see God still working it out from behind the scenes. You know, it's almost like when you go to a live play and the curtain closes, which would be the end of the New Testament, and the curtain closes and they be backstage setting up and getting ready for another show. And then when the curtain open again, you know, it's another part. It's another scene, you know. God is behind the scenes in the 400 years getting it ready and preparing the way for the new. After God delivered his final message through the prophet Malachi, he paused in his communication through men for the 400 years. After God delivered his final message, he stepped back, let the people who was fighting him on every hand to have their way. You see the long and the short of it all. God's silence was a part of his eternal plan. He had spoken on numerous occasions and through various people. Now he's preparing to speak at his greatest and most powerful word to mankind, but it's going to be through his son. Jesus Christ. And when he speaks, it's going to be, you know, the greatest revelation we'll ever have. The presence of his son. You see, if you watch the Old Testament, how God dwelt and dealt with his people, if you look at that closely, you will see the plan of God unfold. You know, even when God allowed other nations to capture the children of Israel, and he had to put wrath upon them. Because you see, God is a just God, but he has to punish sin. He had to punish their sins, he has to punish my sins, and he has to punish your sin, because he's God. But even when he allowed them to get captured, become slaves, be brutally attacked, and all of these things, he always had a message of hope. see, everything in the Old Testament, if you paid attention or notice it, it points to the coming of the Messiah, who would do something for mankind that he would not. Come on now. And I had to say that he would not or could not do for himself. Take away the sins of the world. The Old Testament ends, and God is using 400-year period of time to unfold his master plan for a new covenant. A new covenant. And with that, I can say he was out with the old and in with the new. When I was preparing for this lesson, I had to really understand, where did God want me to go through with this? Because it's 400 years, and you may never have paid attention or even noticed, but the New Testament covers about 150 years of history. The Old Testament was 1,000 years of history, promises. You know, the law and all these things. And then this period is 400 years. So the 400 years is well, what, triple the time of the Old Testament? 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, not quite triple, but it's more than double of the time of the New Testament. So it was a lot of information to cover. But the thing that I was looking to achieve as I studied was to get the highlights and show the hand and the movement of God in this period of time. I knew he was setting a stage for the arrival of his son. You see, the book of Malachi, which is the last of his writing, he ended with the ultimate promise of the Messiah, and he said that he would come. And I know the New Testament starts with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I try to watch and see things that happen in this period of time. So the first thing I came across, that there was political developments. We remember the first political development. They divided into periods. And y'all have to watch. I'm going to give you the dates. Remember, the Old Testament started with the highest number and came down and ended with the lower. But the New Testament, no, let me back up. The Old Testament started with the lowest number and it ended with the larger number of years. But the Old Testament started with the small number and it ended with the highest number. So, if the Old Testament ended, and, you know, they had 400 years between, so the Old Testament had to end with the end of the like, 397, 400 years. So when the first political development was the Persians, they reigned from 536 to 333. So when you see 333, you know that's in that period of 400 years. You see, at the end of Malachi, the Jews were still under the Persian rule and remained it so for the first 60 years in the inter-testament period, or the silent period. So the first things that I'm trying to give you with the Persians are what God was doing backstage with these developments and these political developments. You see, the Persians contributed to the people of Israel a foreign policy. Watch this. You need to remember the history of the people of Israel. You know, you remember when Solomon died, God divided the kingdoms. They had Israel and Judah. But you see, both of those kingdoms were taken out of the land for disobedience. and made subject to foreign entities. But you see, God used the Persians, come on, y'all, to deliver Israel from the Babylonian captivity, and he allowed, the Persians allowed the Jews' exiles to return to their land, rebuild, and worship in the Temple of Jerusalem. So if we look at this, the first one, the Persians, we realize that God used them to unite them back again. They were all in the same place again, the division of the southern and the northern kingdom. They weren't living apart. So God wanted them together, and this was one way that it happened. And you see, the next period was the Greek period. And we're going to pick up from that date, which is 333, and it ended in 323. All right? You see, and it's just amazing, these names you heard, you would have never maybe put them in the 400 year between the Old Testament, New Testament period. But Alexander the Great was a phenomenal person in history. In his march on Jerusalem, he not only spared the city, but he offered sacrifices to God. You see, this in turn created a pro-Greek sympathies among the Jews. You see, Alexander the Great came there. He made, you know, some sacrifices to God so they could feel that, because, you know, they thought he was worshiping God. And because he did that, they start being all right with the Greek. You see, under his influence, the entire Western world began to speak and study the Greek language. This process was called Hellenization. And whenever you see that word in the Bible, and you see it a lot, I just didn't know what it mean, but I looked it up. This includes the adoption of Greek culture and religion in all parts of the world. You see, it became so popular that it persisted and was encouraged throughout the Roman era. And get this, it went all the way into the New Testament time. You see, although the Greek language was sufficiently widespread by, now watch this year, 270 B.C., it brought about a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. You know, when you truly study the Bible and you have to sometimes get the Greek interpretation or the Hebrew interpretation to really understand what they're really saying in a translation and things like that, that is where that came from. Because, you know, the Bible in the Old Testament was Hebrew. It was under Alexander the Great that God, I'm sure, orchestrated him to do it in a sense, you know, because God could do that. You see, God wanted a universal language. That's what Alexander the Great brought to it, and it was under the period. Under the Greek period. The next political development was the Egyptian period. It lasted from 323 to 204. And really, you could say 204 to 223. You see, it was the longest of the six periods in the intertestamental period. You see, but the death of Alexander the Great resulted in a period in time of confusion, which was resolved by full foes, breakups of Alexander four generals. You see, Alexander the Great lived, and the Jews was all right with him because he had made that sacrifice. He treated them good. But Alexander the Great died. And what happened at that time, that four of his generals divided his kingdom up, and each one of them had a little kingdom of their own, you see. And when they got on the scene, they dealt harshly with the Jews. But after they became a little more friendly, you see, under their reign, the famous, they call it Septuagint, translation of the Old Testament scripture, was made from the Hebrew, made from the Hebrew and to the Greek. You see, Alexander Great set it up, but under the Egyptian period, where it really got accepted and it really became more usable and everybody had begun to understand it. You know, they got bilingual, you know, they learned Greek real fast through the system because God was in a plane. We see the importance of this when we realize that the Greek language has now become the language of the civilized world. You see, God do things because he know the next step. We don't. When God is working things out, is behind the scenes, he knew that the Greek was going to be the language of the civilized world. And he knew he had people of all walks of life, all cultures, and everything that he had a desire to be saved. And God have a way to meet you right where you're at. So God was working it out together, and he knew that. So that's what the Egyptian period did. You see, the Jews were so numerous, had so many, and it was in Egypt, North Africa, that such a translation had become necessary. Can you see the hand of God? He might have not be speaking, and he might have closed his ears. But if you watch, and if you study, and if you keep your eyes and pray that the Holy Ghost show you, you can see the hand of God all in this. You see, it became so well known, and it lasted so long because, you see, Jesus, it was before the birth of Jesus, and it was still there in Jesus' time. And it was the Greek things that Jesus would say many times. He used the Greek language. So you see what each period brought to the table for God's master plan? You see, and it was the syringe. The next one is the syringe period. You see, there are two points of special note about this period. First, it was the time that the Palestinians, that Palestine was divided into five sections, which we find in the New Testament. These different provinces are, and these main ones we know, Judah, Samaria, and Galilee. And he had two others. God allowed the Palestinians to divide into five sections. That was the sections he needed. That's how he needed them grouped together to do what he wanted to do. See the hand of God. You see, as the Syrian period is the most tragic part of this period. You see, the Jews and Judahs were still permitted to live under their own law, administrated by the high priest and his council until 170 B.C. Come on, y'all, we walking it down. Started at 400, we on 170. You see, Jerusalem was plundered. The wall was torn down. The temple was desecrated. The temple sacrifices were abolished. Come on. Jewish religion was banned. This day, hard time here, y'all. And the Palestinians had the audacity to put a pig on the altar in the house of God. And you know, Jews detested pork and pigs. That's how bad it had got. And it was treated cruel and everything else. And we go to The next one is the Maccabean period. And it started in 63. No, they're still going back. I'm sorry, y'all. This is how we get. I was a little confused. But if the dates in the Old Testament started with the highest number, they're coming down to the lowest number. So with the Maccabean period, it started in 165. And it ended in 63. So that 63 is 60 years before the beginning of the New Testament. Okay. The Jews began to resist and revolt. You see, Jerusalem was captured. And in this period, an elderly priest named Matthias lived with his five sons in a village northwest of Jerusalem. When a Syrian official tried to enforce heathen sacrifices in the village, he revolted, fought, fled to a mountain with his family, and thousands of the faithful Jews joined him. And the history records one of the noblest demonstrations of holy honor to God. See, this was that revolution. You see, I just told you what they did in the Syrian period. And then here we see now that Syrian was 204 to 165, and now we 165 to 63. And all hell had broke loose. They had the Jews, they stopped all of their ceremony. They stopped their worship. They put pigs on their altar. They made them sacrifice pork, and they made them eat pork. They just did everything that Jews detested, and that's how they was living under that period. And then here come the Maccabean, and a man decided to fight, and he had five sons. And he fled in the mountain, and thousands of faithful Jews joined him. And the history records this was one of the most noble acts towards God, especially at that time. The most significant religion development of this period resulted from a strong difference of opinion concerning kingship and priesthood of Judah. 400 for hundreds of years. You see, the priest was always from the Levites, from Aaron, and Aaron was over the priests, and the Levites was his people that became priests. But you see, what started happening, all of these, the Egyptian government and the Persian government and the Greek government, what they start doing is they start naming the priests. And usually they name a priest because of bribes. In other words, it was just crooked. Come on, y'all. See, when you look at what's going on in the United States of America, you could be appalled. You could be a little bit upset. But ain't nothing new under the sun. So under the Maccabees, they was mad because the kings would name the priests. You see, the priests usually being held by individuals. They start being held by individuals of political strength rather than those of the descendants of Aaron. So that's what happened in the Maccabee period. And they did fight back and they revolted. And one of the last periods, which started in 63. Now, if it started in 63 and it went, it has no ending because they say onward. So if they say 63 and onward, that means that this period, which is the Roman period, stayed in effect even into the New Testament. You see, the Herod family now appear on the scene. Herod, who resigned at the time of the Lord's birth, this the same Herod who slaughtered the children under 2 years old and asked the wise men to go and find Jesus and come back and tell him. You see, But this the same Herod I'm talking about now, and he began in 63. He managed to secure the support of the Roman general to gain control of Judah. The result was the siege of Jerusalem, which lasted 3 months, with the general taking the city. And then here come Pompey, with disregard for the temple, strolled into the holiest of holies, an action at which once engaged by the royal Jewish head towards the Romans. So what did the Romans bring to the table? I try to show you what everybody brought to the table. What did the Romans bring to the table? Now watch this. It brought the law. Even God's people was lawless. And if God's going to be in control, God know what it need. It brought law. They brought peace. There was no peace in the time, but they used the law to enforce the peace. Come on, see what is necessary. The Romans brought a stable government, and it brought systems. You see, Romans were systematic people, and it brought ways of doing things. In Rome, the Romans brought, they even started collecting tax to government, you know, a government processes. They put all the government things in order. Roman also brought in slavery. It is estimated that in the Roman Empire, 5 out of every 7 people were slaves. Most people was under the jurisdiction of other people. And lastly, Roman brought roads, R-O-A-D-S. It built roads all over the empire. You know, they was the freeway builders of that day. So they connected their empires together, and that was vital important for the church of the New Testament. Come on, y'all. To fulfill its mission in taking the gospel into the world. You see, they were building the roads. God wanted the roads because he knew the church age would come in the New Testament and people would be spread it all over. And they needed something to be able to have transportation on the road. You know, come on, y'all. So that they could get from one place to the other. But the Romans brought the roads. So I wanted to show you something that each God allowed these periods to happen. But if you look at it closely, you will see what they brought to the table, what God wanted. So when he opened the curtain, everything is going to be in place. See, God is setting the stage. So I'm going to just go over one more time, not all of that. But you see, the purging was from 533 to 333. And we know that the purgings brought a foreign policy. And all of the tribes of Israel and all of the people of Jerusalem and Israel was living back in their place. Come on now, God said he will gather his people. You see, the Greek period from 333 to 323, you know, they introduced the Greek language. And then if you look at the Egyptian period from 323 to 204, we walking it out, y'all. They brought it. They even, you know, by now the Hebrew Bible was changed to Greek. God knew they needed a universal language. And you see, before all of this, everything pointed to the east. You know, when Jesus was born, the star came up in the east. Jerusalem is in the east, and everything is in the east. But God wanted everything brought together, and he allowed them to make a universal language and really a culture, and some civilization was all one kind, because he was trying to bring everything together. You know, he saved the people in Egypt, North Africa. Come on, y'all. He knew what was necessary. And then the siren period, which is 204 to 165. They just cut up. They cut up so bad with the pigs and the priests and doing what they wanted. And then the Maccabean period in 165 to 63, they began to fight. One man, Mattathias, and his five sons, they revolted. They start getting some order. And then after that, the Romans came, the political thing with the Romans. And we see that they brought law and order. They brought peace. Come on, y'all. They brought systems. They brought government. They introduced slavery. Well, they ain't introduced it because the Israelites was enslaved in Egypt, but they brought slaves because that's their workforce. But it wasn't like the slave was treated so badly. They just was owned by someone else, and they were even able to own stuff. But the slavery system, I guess they needed that for labor. Come on, y'all, just tell it like it is. And then they made the roads in that period of time. Besides the governmental developments, there were spiritual developments. You don't have to read far into the pages of the New Testament until you really realize that some great changes have come upon the Jews and the Jewish nation in Judah. Since the last writer of the Old Testament laid down his pen, it is not simple that Palestinians has changed hands about a dozen of times. So what happened? Anybody familiar with the New Testament, they always hear about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, a Pharisees, all of this developing at 400 years. You see, the Pharisees was always adding to. He was not content with the written word of God and with the plain truth of the gospel. He must start adding his own idea and audience until religion and salvation are a highly complicated matter. They made religion a burden and too heavy to bear. The Pharisees, y'all know they opposed Jesus Christ. They would always ask him questions to try to catch him. The people looked up to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, God, Jesus called them hypocrites because they knew the law, but they didn't know how to love. And then there was the Sadducees. The Pharisees was always adding to, and the Sadducees was always taken away from the word of God. Everything must be tried at a bar of human reasoning with them. This, that, and the other things must be cut out to make faith reasonable. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in demons. They didn't believe in resurrection from the dead, and they didn't accept any miracle. The Sadducees, it didn't start in the New Testament. It started in a 400-year period. And then they had the Herodians. These were the people that just didn't care about what it is. They didn't try to add. They didn't try to take away. The only thing they was concerned with the here and now, which would have been the rich people. Only thing they was concerned about is their wealth and how to get more and more. You see, while the Pharisees was busy adding, the Sadducees was busy taking away. These people had these people just was passing by, trying to get more and more. So that was some of the religious things or organizations or facets that had been in place in the 400 years, and they're going to enter into the New Testament. You see, and then for us, everybody went to church in the temples, but now they have synagogues. You see, after the destruction of the temple the Jewish temple in 70 A.D., worship was no longer taking place in the temple, making the synagogues the central place of worship. You see, they started having synagogues in all cities, just like we have churches. We have a lot of churches in cities, and we have a lot of churches in states, but that concept had started then. They still would go to the temple for, certain feasts and certain, days like Passover and stuff, but most of the time they worshiped in the synagogues. That's when the synagogues was established. And then you see they had the scribes. The scribes were those who did the legal document. They devoted themselves to the study of the law. They thought they studied the scripture. Many of the scribes were members of the Jewish council. And another one I'm going to speak about is the Sanhedrins. Now, watch how interesting this is. You see, the Grand Sanhedrins was the supreme court of ancient Israel. It was made up of 70 men and high priests. In the Second Temple period, the great Sanhedrins met in the temple in Jerusalem. You see, this was a court. This was the high court. They are like our Supreme Court. Come on, y'all. You know judges is in the Bible. The United States was established on the Word of God, and they used so many things in the Word of God to establish their governmental system, and now they're tearing it all down. Come on, y'all. You know, they had a year of jubilee in the Bible. After 70 years, you know, what you owed was forgiven. When they made the credit bureau up, stuff would stay on you for 7 years, and then it went away. Our court system had judges. The Bible had judges. And the Sanhedrins was like the Supreme Court. It was 70 men that they brought everything to them to make the final decision. You see, the Sanhedrin was a body claimed power that lesser Jewish courts did not have. As such, they were the only ones who would try the king or extend the boundaries of the Temple of Jerusalem, and were the ones whom all questions of the law were finally put. The last binding decision of the Sanhedrins was in 558, when the Hebrew calendar was adopted. Sanhedrins was bad boys. The Sanhedrins was dissolved after continued persecution by the Roman Empire. Over the centuries, they have been attempted to retrieve the institution. We know the institution was still put back in place after the 400 years, because they went to the Sanhedrins. The priests went to the Sanhedrins to try to get the people to accept the charges they wanted to put against Jesus. So as I close tonight, and I pray you guys got something. You know y'all all have my number. After I get through, and if there's any question, you could ask them. We'll try to answer them. You could call offline to my number, the prayer line, 504-289-9501. And the only dumb question is the one that's never asked. And here I go, and I'm going to close. As the 400 years of silence closed, God was silent and gave a deaf ear. But we can still see his hand working it out by establishing his master plan for the coming of his son to establish our, yours and mine, eternal kingdom. Through it all, God is still in control. Then one ordinary night in a tiny village of Bethlehem, Jesus was born. And with his first cries, God's voice once again graced the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For Jews with ears to hear and eyes to see, it became clear throughout Jesus' life that he was the Son of God, the Savior for whom they had been waiting for. You know, some of the Jews, you know, they was all right people, but they was tired. How long? You know, you've been telling us this forever. Something is going to come. Some change is going to take place. But you got to just wait. You don't get to make up the time. God's time is not our time. But if God said it's going to come to pass. You know, God has used the years of silence to prepare the perfect time and place for Jesus' arrival. During the years between the Testament, there were wars and turmoil, flawed heroes, and unfulfilled hope. But God had set the stage for the final era of salvation history, an era of good news for Jews and Gentile alike. And everybody know that anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. So they say it for Jews and Gentile alike. That's all mankind. And I just want to say thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, and Savior, for grace and mercy. And that's our program for tonight. And as always, if anybody want to make a comment, ask a question, add to it. I know you guys studied, and you might have picked up a part I didn't. Of course, that's not everything that happened there. I just had to get so much information to be able to stop like I did. It's 9:28, hallelujah. You know, I had to look at the time to not run over the time unless, you know, we all just discussing or anything. But I pray that you understand what happened. You see, God was setting it up. You know, in the last chapter of the Old Testament, and when Malachi opens up, God say, "I have to send someone to prepare the way." You know, in the New Testament, open up with the prepare of the way, John Baptist. You got to just connect the dots, and you can only do it by studying. But right now, I want to know if anybody would like to make a comment, add to anything, take away from anything while nobody is pressing. I want y'all to know that the lady who sings the songs for us, Sister Elyria Mackey, when I say from Boothill, Louisiana, when my prayer, I ask for prayer for the family of Mary Taylor. Mary Taylor is Elyria Mackey's mother, and she passed away. And as always, you know, we all pray for one another. So I'm asking each and every one of you to please pray for her family. Her mother was saved. It's nothing that I'm guessing about. Her mother was saved, so we could rejoice in that. But now the family needs your prayers. So please pray for that family. Would anybody like to make a comment? Anybody would like to pray? Anybody have a praise report? Anybody want to give encouragement? Anybody want to talk about the things that's happening around the world? You know, anybody would like to do something in this forum, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic. The last time I was on, a caller told me that they, I think she spoke already. Anybody would like to say anything, you could press it. I pray that I wasn't too confusing, but I hope I gave you a gist to see the different periods that happened and what each period did or what they brought to the table or what God was using them for. It's the essence of it all. And then the different religion sectors that got started, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and things like that. Because when you go in the New Testament, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all that, you know they wasn't in the Old Testament. So the light should go off, and it had to happen between the 400 years. All righty. They wasn't speaking Greek, but they're doing it now, so it had to be established in the 400 years. Anyone have anything they would like to say at this time? If not, I'm going to just do a benediction, and we're going to close. You know, next week's lesson, we're going to cross over and flip the page to the New Testament. The first book in the New Testament is Matthew's. So we will be in the book of Matthew's on next Wednesday, if the Lord say the same. So with that being said, and no one else has anything to say, a caller has pressed the button. Caller, your number is 504-715. Your mic is open.
Miss Elyria, thank you for the prayers. But I am encouraged. I was singing that song, Jesus Promised Me a Home Over There. God is worth it to be praised no matter what we go through. And I'm encouraged because I know mom is in a better place, because the words say absent from the body is present with the Lord. And I know when he called on that great getting up morning, the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and we that are alive and remain going to be caught up to meet them together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So I just want to let the listeners know that God is worth it no matter what we go through. Because his words say he'll not give us no more than we can bear. And when we release them and tell them sleep on and take their rest, we can be at peace. Because then we know that we have the peace that God gives that passes all understanding. And I just want to let you know, Sister Diane, I thank you for praying for us. And I am encouraged because God is worthy.
Thank you so much, Sister Elyria. Thank you so much. Would you like to lead us out tonight?
I can do that. God, we thank you, Lord God, because you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And you said in your word that you'll never put on us no more than we can bear. And your word say we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who love us, that you shed your blood on Calvary for us, O God, that you come to cleanse and wash and sanctify us and make us whole in you, O God. God, I pray for everyone on the line, Lord God, that they would have their being and their move and their being be in you, O God, because you are our Savior. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. God, I thank you for the years that I had with Mother. 89 years she was blessed, and I was blessed to have her as a mother. And I thank you, Lord God. God, I thank you for Sister Diane as she ministered your word, Lord God. Keep encouraging and enlighten her mind as she go day by day, because your word said, though the outer man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And we thank you for renewing us, Lord. We thank you for the word coming alive, because your word said a letter giveth, but the spirit give life. And we thank you for the life that we're receiving just listening to her minister your word, God. And we give you honor, we give you the praise, and we give you the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, and God be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Sister Elyria. And let me ask this question. I just realized that my, the microphone, not the microphone, the thing on your phone when you put, when you want to walk away and all of that.
The mute button?
Not the mute button, the other button that Meg. No, the, when you want to put the phone down and you don't have to have it to your ear and talk. The speaker, yeah. I just realized my phone was on the speaker. But did it sound any, was it coming across clear tonight?
To them?
To you guys.
To me? Oh, yes. Yeah,
yes.
It was.
Praise God. Because you know how you have a thing on a speakerphone sometimes. Sometimes, you know, the person you talk to, your voice seemed distorted. That's what I was getting at. But we're going to keep lifting Elyria Mackey family up in prayer. And I want to let you guys know I go to a school of Christian education, and I'm taking a class, and it has four phases, and I finished the first phase, and I'm graduating from the first stage, graduating because of the first stage completion on tomorrow night. And I am taking classes this week. Matter of fact, I had a class tonight, and I asked to be excused to come run from uptown to come downtown to get on the program at 8:15 because I have to go into the studio by 8:15. But God see fit, and it all worked out together for the good. And for that, I am so grateful, and I thank God for allowing me to be able to come before you guys. I pray that the lesson tonight, if you didn't read, it may perk your interest for you to read. And if you did read what you have, it may be something else that I gave you. And then you could go back and study. There's so much information out about the period between the testaments. So I suggest that you look some of it up. But that's our lesson for tonight. I want to say I thank God for each and every one of you. And as we close, there's one thing that I ask, that the Word of God asks, really, that we all grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Each and every one of you be blessed, and let us pray for one another. God loves you. And so do I. And if you don't remember nothing else, if you take care of God's business, God will take care of yours. And that's our lesson for tonight. Be blessed and good night.